Hey there. It's early Sunday morning because it's midnight. It's midnight on the Olympic Peninsula because the Coyote Queen and the Wolf King are hooking up. The Godzilla, Gorilla, Bearzilla, Blahbillilla, the creatures that feed on deer and muskrat elk. They're out there engundulating. They're out there storing away for winter. Time is coming. It's grinkin' time. Yes, indeed, it is Sunday, midnight, October the 27th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's weird because you're hearing from me again, but this is a little different. As you well know, I am currently releasing, developing, creating, writing, constructing, deconstructing, and rewiring my Danifesto. It's a manifesto. It's a meal. It's a manwich. And as I write it, I'm trying to do an audio oral chapter where you get bonus material because you get to listen to my bullshit instead of just reading my bullshit, which you're not going to enjoy. But you might enjoy the audio chapter. Sure, there's no special little images or diagrams, no illustrations, no naked ladies. I'm not the National Geographic. This isn't 1978. It's not, buddy. You need to grow the fuck up. Yes, I'm working on my manifesto, Bo Blimp Doc, towards a new lurching. And you'll understand more about what I mean, lurching, as each chapter is released. But in order to introduce yourself to a multi-level scheme that involves contracts and various types of psychological torture, you've got to listen to all of it. So this is Chapter 2, mofo. Chapter 2 of Bo Blimp Doc, Towards a New Lurching. Just to recap, in Chapter 1, we learned how the Boy's Life hovercraft broke us down, let us down. It said we would walk on air. It said we would live without care. The Boy's Life hovercraft was a fuckaroo for me and you. Giant fuckaroo. But this is Chapter 2. This is Chapter 2 of Bo Blimp Doc, Towards a New Lurching, my manifesto, manwich-style Danifesto. Title of Chapter 2, Fucking with People, a primer on military psychological warfare and how to pick up girls at bars. Maybe I won't help with one of those things. The Overton Paddock. The Overton window, as terms of art go, is sort of useful, but incomplete. It's described as a window that shifts and changes the way we see the world. A window controlled by them, limiting what we're allowed to debate, I have to drink some sacred coffee and restart that. I apologize, but I don't have to, because I'm the Gondo Lord of all overlordresses within the context of my Danifesto, so I'll just drink my sacred coffee and move on. Yeah, that's Crisco. The Overton Paddock. The Overton window, as terms of art go, is sort of useful but incomplete. It's described as a window that shifts and changes the way we see the world. A window controlled by them, limiting what we're allowed to debate in the region of acceptable skepticism, yeah. What is allowed? What is authorized? Problem is, the biggest proponents of the Overton window metaphor, as stated, are folks who will give you Epstein was killed, Epstein committed suicide. But that's it. There's no other option. Sounds a lot like an Overton window to me, brah. So, for lots of reasons, I don't simply accept some fruity notion without digging deeper. And I have my own conception of the Overton window. Imagine a fenced-in area or paddock. The paddock itself is on wheels, so the fence line can be moved. And even the shape of the paddock itself can be morphed because the actual fences are on hinges. Within the paddock is a flock of sheep, and at the center of the pasture of these sheep is a wolf giving speeches. Many of the sheep, perhaps most, enjoy the speeches and the free breakfast, lunch, and dinner being served. It seems nice and cozy, like pumpkin spice coffee. Some of the sheep are not so happy, though. They don't really believe the wolf, nor do they enjoy the food they are being fed. These sheep can see the boundary of the paddock. They sense that there's more beyond, and so they tend to congregate at the edge of the paddock near the fences. And just outside the fence line are tireless warriors for truth, the edgelords, the alt-Qs, the cartoon soldiers, the Twitter nurses, the rulers of the fence. They speak a great deal of truth, and it seems as if they want to liberate you from the paddock. But at the end of the day, their help keeps you trapped inside. This chapter is about that paddock and the other related subjects. What is military psychological warfare, sometimes referred to as social engineering? If you go online, you can find adequate definitions of psychological warfare, but they are just adequate. One definition I found, actions intended to reduce an opponent's morale. But what does this mean in the context of a government trying to manage the behaviors and actions of its own population? And if your government is using these techniques against you, your family, and your community, does that not imply that you are the enemy? I will give you my definition of psychological warfare. Psychological warfare is the use of brain science, psychology, sociology, game theory, and other studies of human behavior to provide the knowledge and tools to manipulate individuals and groups of people, all to achieve some desired result or set of effects. It is oft said that the oldest profession is prostitute. This is a lie, started by a grifter, a con artist. The oldest profession is grifter, manipulator. You can see this sketchy behavior in other conscious and self-aware creatures. If you have a dog, you can notice it, to the extent possible, using tools of manipulation to get a desired result. Oh yeah, your dog will gaslight you, sorry. So will your cat. So the seed of psychological warfare is connected to the human mind and probably the conscious minds of other creatures. There are three stages to consciousness. Holy fuck, I'm here. That's stage one. Holy shit, I'm here. The octopus and the African gray parrot and your dog, probably Frenchies, they have this experience of holy fuck, I'm here. And then there's the sobering second stage of consciousness. Fuck. Shit. I don't know enough. That's stage two. The recognition of ignorance. And frankly, the wise over the centuries have recognized stage two as simply being critical, because it's not just that it's important as that second stage of initial consciousness, it's evergreen. It applies to every stage of learning until you die. None of us know enough. Stage three is sketchy. Well, you know, stage three. Oh boy, I got a good one for you, stage three. Stage three is the recognition on the part of a conscious being. And we all get to stage three. We do. Those among us who aren't pieces of shit, sociopaths, you know, narcissistic scumbags, those of us who are relatively decent people don't dwell in stage three. But the stage three of consciousness is, fuck, nobody else knows enough either. Hey, I got pebbles. Hey, there's the moon. I got pebbles. Oh, I'm gonna count days. Hey there. I'll put a mark on the tree, but I won't let Susie Lee see me because, you know, I'm a Stone Age man and I gotta keep secrets. I will keep track of the movement of the moon. I will keep this to myself. Stage three of consciousness is the recognition that your neighbors, your community, they're in the same boat as you. Even today, maybe especially today, with the internet and smart devices and smart tablets and whatever the fuck chip Elon Musk wants to shove into your penis, even today, nobody else knows enough either. And it means that if you stay in stage three and you don't have a soul, so you become a lawyer or a politician, or you end up selling some type of poisonous crap to kids. If you stay in stage three, you can do quite well. That's the problem. You know, we humans, all of us think we're so skeptical and smart until we're not really. Until that moment when we're not. And a lot of us may not have bad experiences at that moment. I gotta tell you something though. If you ever get bored and you have a Netflix account, and yeah, I know Netflix is woke and crazy, there is a docuseries on Netflix I highly recommend. It's called Bad Vegan. And though I won't claim the facts or the circumstances to be remotely the same, I've had an experience like that, and I bet a lot of people have. Stage three is what I call the grifter stage. Healthy, emotionally intact humans don't dwell long in the grifter stage. They might do pranks or schedule surprise parties, but generally that's as malicious as it gets. Less healthy individuals dwell in stage three and focus on the idea that if they can convince one or more people that they know something they in fact do not know, then this gives them great power over that person or others. Basically, this is also called false credibility. And false credibility as a concept in psychological warfare comes up over and over again. It's related to sheep dipping. Imagine thousands of years ago Imagine thousands of years ago in the forest primeval. And I've already told this story. You know what? Let's move on. The strategic high ground of psychological warfare is false credibility. If you can convince people that you are a credible source, when in fact you are lying, you can own another person's set of choices. Or as a former CIA boss once said, William J. Casey, CIA director, 1981, and you know, if you know, you probably already know this quote, but I'm going to read it anyways. We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. That's Director Casey. That's under Ronald Reagan. That's 1981. You know, the good old days some of you motherfuckers keep talking about. Psychological warfare is bigger than just disinformation or propaganda. But it goes to the crux of where the power over others is. Control the flow of information, and you can control the minds of others. Control the minds of others through drugs and other types of abuse, and you can impact how they process information. You see how that works? There are several tools of control, and we will talk about only a few in this chapter. Section 3, Event Planning, Resource Management, Paid Actors. Whether you're a PSYOP whether you're PSYOP, excuse me, I'm going to have more sacred coffee if that's okay. Dan, it's terrible. It's after midnight. I know, and the witches are coming to get me because it's Halloween season. Why don't you take a break? This is called bonus content. You don't get this content from just reading it. Section 3, Event Planning, Resource Management, Paid Actors. Whether you're a PSYOP, your PSYOP, psychological operation, is small scale or large scale, you will need resources. One of the most important resources you will utilize is human, the actors. The actors or players or paid protesters are the jelly-filled center of any decent PSYOP donut. One of the most important aspects of 2020, and frankly since then, is the mask. The masks don't really help with the viruses or imagined diseases. The legal disclaimer on the box should probably tell you that. But if you need to recycle, reuse paid actors between a BLM Antifa, you know, riot and a Proud Boys wearing Cackers type show up thing, if you need to reuse the same people over and over again on opposite sides of the fences, oh boy, that mask sure does help. Another resource for the U.S. Deep State is contextual, or more like I would say applies to this period of history. Another resource for the U.S. Deep State is the military, or more precisely, the military intelligence branches of the U.S. Army, U.S. Navy, U.S. Air Force, and Marine Corps. One of the nice things about lowering standards for entrance into the military services and ranks is that PSYOP branches now have people, let's just say, that represent a wide swath of human society and represent the folks you would expect to see in a protest. So it's easier for them to play those roles. It used to be easier to spot somebody that was coming from the military ranks in terms of intelligence services, but it's not so easy any longer. There's more of that resource available. And that applies to law enforcement as well, maybe especially so. Every PSYOP has management. So, for example, in the summer 2020, when I observed the things I observed up and down 12th Avenue, if I had had the gusto and the energy, and if I hadn't have been a burnt-out middle-aged dude in a snake pit, I might have been willing to try to target and identify the people in that particular protest that were controllers. I have video where I think I might have met one or two. But when I say controllers, I should say like operators or managers. If you can find these people that are managing the crowd, like I did in the video, you could theoretically get to the controller. But every one of these PSYOPs has management. When I went up to Chazchopia on Capitol Hill, and I think this was June of 2020, I went there early. You ever see the HBO series, which is based on some cheesy films, which is based on Michael Crichton, called Westworld? You know, go back to the 70s and it gets remade now. One of the interesting things about the robots at Westworld is that they get fixed, you know, while they're sleeping. So if you went to Chapchaw's any time of day when the kids were awake, you might think it was a real thing. Organic and real. Oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe there are cowboys. But if you actually went there early enough, and I went there with a friend in June of 2020, it's like the robots are sleeping. I saw a fire marshal. I saw several people that looked like they were higher ups in the community, maybe a councilman. I interviewed a dude who was an employee of the city of Seattle. There were a lot of Seattle employees down there putting up barricades, to quote the dude, putting up stuff for people to write on. The video is on my blog. I've talked about it too much. It's so irrelevant. Once you've, you know, lost 50 YouTube accounts and you've been permabanned, you realize how irrelevant this whole conversation is. But yeah, I saw the folks that were engineering what was going to happen. And when you think of PSYOP management, it's a lot like being a director in a movie. In fact, maybe exactly. And probably that's why the CIA has been so cushy with Hollywood over the years. Because I think, you know, you could say that that's been a resource. Of course, there's that movie, Wag the Dog. Originally, it was a play, right? A play on Broadway? Play on Broadway. Man, that sounds like a weird pun for crazy people. A lot of folks understand or think they know this. I heard a guy say this once. He says, people think they know things, but until you really know, you don't, because you don't have that sense of certainty. A lot of people would suspect that Hollywood helps the CIA engineer things, like events, like people that don't exist. And there have been movies about it. Like, I think there was that one movie, you know, with Ben Affleck about Iran and stuff, blah, blah, blah. There have been films about how the United States government takes advantage of Hollywood to engineer, to construct an event. And so it's not really that original. What Americans don't expect is a BLM Antifa protest or a Proud Boys protest or some group of Klans people or racists or other group. What they don't expect is that that's bullshit too. And what's strange is that if you study this going back to the 1960s, again, this is known. FBI had a project, I believe it was called Operation Chaos, during the 1960s. They would inject into radical organizations people they managed. They would push radical organizations towards violence. So this is not brand new. In fact, if you go back to the very birth of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, you go right back to the beginning, and this is nonsense they have been doing since the beginning. You know, I went off on a tangent there. This is bonus material. Like I said, bonus material. People have become lazy about evaluating information. People have become lazy about deciding, is that video real or not? I'm not sure what to tell you. I'm going to skip a little bit ahead because I essentially just covered it. Every crowd, and I'm going to reiterate this before I move on, every crowd, every protest, every riot will have an operator. And like I said, I think I have on video one or more of the operators along 12th Avenue that day, July the 3rd, 2020, I think I have them on video. I think they were pissed off because I was taking close-up video of Seattle bike cops pretending to be Antifa. But, you know, when you see the Glock and the extra clip sticking out of the butt crack, it's kind of hard to keep that a secret. So, yeah, I think I may have met an operator. But to reiterate, every crowd will have an operator. And that operator is your key to the next level, the controller. And I'm not going to go into that any further. You can figure that out for yourself, you know. Watch a movie about the IRA in the 1920s and you can figure out what that means. Last but not least, big ops need big paychecks. And this is true too. It's a cliche to say follow the money, but it's true. Up until the 1970s, the CIA and FBI were not all too careful about funding fake operations. But then there were some investigations, the church committee et al., blah, blah, blah. And they got the message, do a better job of hiding the funds for operations. One of the neat ways the CIA has done this, NGOs, non-governmental organizations funded by webs of dark money, are the main funding body of military psychological warfare during the 21st century. And I'm going to repeat that again and drink some sacred coffee first. Non-governmental organizations funded by webs of dark money are the main funding body of military psychological warfare during the 21st century. Well, what do you think that means, Mr. Scrumbo? They provide plausible deniability. They provide useful idiots and necessary and elevated victims. Whether it's the white helmets in Syria or the Maidan protesters in Kiev back in 2014, the NGO model of funding makes it appear as if some authentic uprising or protest is occurring, when in fact it's quite fake. Section 4, narrative construction, channels, and the smart device. PSYOP narratives for major operations like COVID take years to build. Sometimes decades. During the 1980s and 1990s, The public was fed a consistent diet of terrorists are going to blow up something big. In movies, in TV shows, terrorists will target us at our weakest and go for some big event. Some call this predictive programming. I call it preparing the battlefield of the mind. As with indirect fires, these predecessor fables soften the front lines of critical thinking. They reduce people's ability to think about the world and to counteract the influence of these methods of manipulation. For my entire adult life, pop culture, movies, books, Little House on the Fucking Prairie fed the narrative a terrible virus or bacterium or fungus is coming to get you. Michael Crichton made his bones on Andromeda Strain, buddy. Producing art, literature, film, commentary, academic careers that reflect this consistent narrative is one of the necessary steps in building future events. It's not subliminal. If you apply some critical thinking, you can see it for what it is. If you apply critical thinking. But for the distracted and the disinterested, it is simply too much. During the early part of this century, a new technology gave the narrative builders even greater power, the smart device. In order to control people, you need to own their channels of information, and these convenient technologies provide the means of ownership. You can observe it in the young and the old. They gormlessly stare at their glowing rectangle in their hands and ignore everything else around them. So, number one, build the narratives over time in subtle, powerful, little ways, you know, bits and pieces. Number two, when the event is triggered, make sure the event is modeled on the bullshit fears you've been spoon-feeding people for years. In order to do the above, you must control enough of the channels, not all of them. In fact, for reasons we'll discuss further on, you want a kind of opposition, a kind of plausible opposition. You want there to be edgelords and alt kings and Q and Twitter nurses and cartoon soldiers, because their existence lends credibility to the idea that you could fight back or escape if you wanted to. But you just don't feel like it right now because the football game is on or you're heading back to Cabela's for more boxes of 9mm. Finally, propaganda and propaganda theory directs narrative construction, both in terms of prep work and during and post event. It's like the COVID right now. They need to keep pushing it in order to solidify it, the thing that happened in 2020 and 2021, as a real thing that happened. The powers that be have been doing this with 9/11 mythos for over two decades. Section 5, sheep dipping. I'm going to drink some sacred coffee, though. Sacred coffee to go with Section 5, I should say. Section 5, sheep dipping. To sheep dip is to put a person or thing through some type of ordeal, such that when the ordeal is complete, the person or thing is placed in a different category and is different. Think of the ordeals of Alex Jones and the fact that none of these ordeals has led to his death or to his anonymity, which is more important. If they wish, they could erase his voice. But if you see him for what he is, a sheepdog, then what you must do is make it look like the system is against him. And this happens in a lot of cases. The Bitcoin phenomena is a good example of sheep dipping applied to a thing, not a person. Every time it looks like Bitcoin is going to tank, you get some weird story about how the government is going to shut down crypto, or those evil finance guys are buying crypto now. These stories maintain the illusion that crypto is an outsider phenomena, despite the fact that many insiders and secret hodlers are in control of it. You know, the whales. Sheep dipping, colon, and this is the definition, to expose a person or a thing to an ordeal of attacks or criticism, maybe even fake attempted assassinations, if you know, in order to garner credibility for that person as a source, or to provide the illusion of trustworthiness for some object, like Bitcoin. See Ross Ulbricht with respect to Bitcoin. He might be 100% real, and if he is, it's a tragedy. But the best case is he's being used to make Bitcoin look more like an outsider asset than it actually is, which means it's a very sad tragedy. You know, it is. It really is. Do I think Ross is in on it? It doesn't really matter. It's like so many other things we probably will never know. Section 6, sheepdogs. Sheepdogs patrol just outside the Overton paddock. The sheepdog's role or purpose is to find and bring back those wayward sheep who jump the fence line and wander too far away. Sheepdogs work because of the credibility building process, see sheep dipping. This process can sometimes take years and multiple events before a sheepdog is ready. Tucker Carlson is a good example of this baby. Sheepdogs live based on their credibility. Every believable ordeal they go through increases their said credibility. But again, it's false credibility. It's important to note for Sovietological reasons that sheepdogs will speak the truth from time to time. They have to mix a fair amount of truth into their bullshit. By mixing truth and bullshit, let's say 70% truth, 30% bullshit, they easily sell the lie to the masses. And if the BS is something people want to hear, then it becomes a slam dunk from a psyop perspective. Don't be afraid to listen to them. Just be careful about what they say or tell you to do. You know, if they tell you to go on a ventilator, just think on it. The sad reality is you might not have access to enough data in order to critically analyze their message. But I think it's fair to say that if their voice is being heard at this point, there's a reason. Section 7, paid fools. This subject is one of the most entertaining in the PSYOP world because it pisses everyone off. But let me start with a story. Imagine there's a king in a distant land. The king has a problem. The coffers are empty. The vaults are cleared out. All the crown jewels are gone. The people suspect, you know, it might be the king who did it, so the king needs to do something. The king recalls that it's often best, in lieu of executions and torture, to mock or ridicule an idea you want to be ignored. In this case, the idea is the kingdom is flat broke. Let's make fun of it. That's a dumb idea. So the king has a brilliant idea. He hires a couple court jesters or comedians, or let's call them PSYOP engineers, to go around talking about how broke the kingdom is. But, you know, to be talking and drinking and getting arrested and flying in jets and doing things that make their position look dumb, foolish, not credible. And it works. This is a good example of removing credibility. The king creates an opposition in the form of a straw man that the king knocks down. But he does so without saying a word. He lets the men, women of the people he is paying to do all the talking, and thereby watch the credibility of the claim slip away. Soon, people just don't care about how broke the kingdom is. Soon, people forget about all those extra taxes. Now, this is what's going to piss people off. Think about them, the state, the scientists, the system, telling you they fixed the ozone layer. Now, think about Al Gore and Greta Thunberg. Do they lend credibility to global warming or climate change? You know, so whether it's the fix the ozone layer or this climate change global warming bullshit, what do they really do? You know, what are they really doing? Paid fools. Let's just be clear on this. If you run into a paid fool, you need to know and you need to understand. A paid fool, in some sense, is like striking gold in PSYOP terms. Because paid fools often obscure the thing, right? They often point away, but in reality, they're standing right next to the thing. And this doesn't mean I believe in global warming or climate change. That's stupid, foolish shit the paid fool's saying. Paid fools do not exist to make funny or dumb things funnier. Paid fools exist to tarnish or heap ridicule on real and serious subjects. If you spot a paid fool, you might want to chuckle, but don't laugh too hard. Kings Don't Care If You Fucking Smile, Baby, Section 8, Trauma Monkeys and Trauma-Based Mind Control. The main flavor of PSYOP the U.S. government has been executing on since 2020 is trauma-based mind control. This form of mind control takes advantage of primary stress and basic needs. If you can imagine being in fight or flight mode, but you have no escape, this is the focal point, or as Sikht would say, the Schwerpunkt of trauma-based mind control. Von Sikht, that is. Much of the COVID pandemic was about tossing made-up trauma at people, mockery, etc., dancing nurses, dead grandparents, hospital horror stories, naked people being chased at the beach because they want to go swimming, skate parks filled with sand, the Chinese government welding people's doors shut, the Australians sending citizens to Christmas Island, blah, blah, blah. Many, if not most, of these events were constructed. Or another event or phenomena like the yearly flu or preventable hospital-acquired infection was rebranded as the COVID. Trauma monkeys or tiny psyops, and these are basically psyops, but they're relatively short-term, and, you know, they're kind of just spun up when needed. They come in a lot of different flavors. Some of them in 2020, perhaps most, were all about the pandemic, but some in 2020 and since have been, you know, have dealt with things like drag queen story time, BLM race war, exploding cows, food processing plants catching fire. A trauma monkey, and this is important, is bigger than one news article, because that's just propaganda. A trauma monkey is a constructed thing, but it's not a very big psyop. The main concern are these little events and dealing with your immediate reaction. Be careful. That's the advice here. Trauma monkeys are designed mainly to piss you off, mainly to make you angry, mainly just to make you sad, but to put you into a state, depression, anger, sadness, where your body and your mind are not working right. If you see a video online, if you read a news report, if you have a friend on Twitter, quote unquote, that you can't verify, or Facebook telling you about something they saw, but you've never actually met this person in real life, just be careful, friend. Be careful. Be careful of the trauma monkeys. Be careful of the skunks that spread them. Section 9, divide and conquer. Of all the crowd control strategies, divide and conquer is the most popular with the elite going back thousands of years. Mind you, it doesn't really matter what the sides are or how many sides there are, and the government doesn't really care which side you choose. They just want you to talk about it, to fuel it, the event, with your energy. And to stress out about it. Sides are irrelevant to them. In the USA, this usually looks like synthetic racism, i.e. racism that is contrived and not actually present. Right now, we are, as a nation, experiencing a multi-level campaign, with the essence of it derived from critical race theory, to ignite racial tensions. And many trauma monkeys have been born since 2020 along these lines, to include those nifty videos of white people kissing the feet of black people. I wonder what the purpose of that is. Another all-time favorite are gender wars, wars between men and women based on sexuality. And now with the new twist of the trans thing. As of this writing, they would have you believe every other kid is transitioning. This is bullshit. They would have you believe that scores of adults are undergoing surgery on their junk or sexual organs, and I think this is bullshit too. And spoiler alert, men quote-unquote transitioning to being women wearing dresses, well, this is a strategy used by rapists going back a long fucking time. Maybe you feel like focusing your energy on these drag queen gender war pay gap trauma monkeys, but that's your dime and your time, not mine. Section 10. Lesser catastrophes and carpet bombing the third eye. I've said this a few times since 2020. It seems like they are carpet bombing the third eye. But what does that mean, baby? I believe, and this is not a scientifically valid or verified belief, but simply a supposition or conjecture, that humans, along with other conscious beings, have the ability, via intuition or some other mechanism, to make decisions based partially on future information. I don't mean literally we can see the future, but I do think we can sense on a spooky level when something is wrong and not wrong quite yet. The folks that run our nation, I think they know this too. In late 2019, as I've said so many times, my alarm started going off. We've talked about this many, many times. I'm going to drink some sacred coffee right now. We've talked about this, my scrumblies, in my various podcasts going back to the Little Saigon Report. I knew I was certain that something big was about to happen. I have several podcasts from late 2019, to include one titled The Great Discontinuity, and another good one is Panic in the Year Zero. Another good one is The Stranded Unconscious Skier. And all of them deal with this, but I never claimed. In fact, another good one would be The Screw Belief from February 2019. But I never claimed it as premonition, nor do I claim I was the only person to sense it. The idea behind this section is that many people did, in 2019, sense this, and many more were capable of sensing what was coming, except for they were distracted. The smart devices and information channel control prevented most from understanding this, and very few were looking at the banking crisis, also called the repo crisis, of late 2019. And yes, there was a banking crisis, an ongoing banking system meltdown in late 2019. Since the PSYOP warriors know this and about us humans, they know that we are capable of spooky intuition, they needed a workaround, and they had one. If you believe people sense something is afoot, then give them something. Provide for them a substitute, or overwrite or obscure the intuition. And it's like an occultation, so to speak, something to hide, something else. Give them viruses and Putin and drag queens and race wars and all kinds of other Trump-Biden trauma-drama silliness, as long as they focus on they're coming for your guns or the Russians are going to nuke us, then they will be less likely to dig deeper because their third eye can connect. A lesser catastrophe is a fake fear, a fake anxiety, mass-produced and sent through information channels. Its purpose is to replace a real concern with one that lacks any credibility at all. For example, if you read an article about a food processing plant catching fire, the lesser catastrophe they want you to be afraid of is George Soros and the commies are burning down our food. They don't want you to grok out that this, you know, this kind of news you're reading could be related to the U.S. dollar being repudiated, and our trading partners want real stuff now in exchange for real stuff as part of a trade settlement. But how do you explain that to Mr. and Mrs. America? Well, you tell them Soros commies are exploding cows and burning potatoes and culling chickens. You're not going to tell them that you have to give the chickens to China if you want any good stuff at Walmart this Christmas. Yeah. Section 11, basic needs, psychological tricks, and pressure points. The placebo effect is powerful, but we tend to look at it from the angle of the positive. A person believes a sugar pill will help them, and it does, and to this day, there is still a great deal of debate about how this effect works. But there's a dark side to the placebo effect. Enter the COVID. Imagine the following scenario. You advertise for a Danish film festival at a theater in your small town. You do weeks of advertising, and the night arrives. It's a packed house. It's a packed house, like 300 or 400 people for this local Danish film festival. Halfway through the first film, a man named Dr. Hans Schutzmann, a scientist, interrupts the festival for an urgent announcement. The doctor goes up on stage and lets the audience know that a pathogen was discovered in the air ducts and that no one can leave until public health officials have screened them. You must stay in place. We don't know when we can let you go. Lockdowns, anyone? Flatten the curve, eh, Hans? Hans provides a list of symptoms. You know, in front of those hundreds of people, he lists out the symptoms. Fever, stomach discomfort, gas, farting, nausea. Now, you might say, well, Dan, it's fake. It can't hurt nobody, okay? But within 30 minutes, one-third of the audience is demonstrating symptoms that the doctor listed before the audience earlier. It's getting scary. Even the ones in the crowd that think it's bullshit are just too afraid to talk. Why? Because how dare you? Grandma, Grandpa, am I right? If the veil is not torn away, within a few hours, the crowd is let in, if they're not let in on the joke, within a few hours, then the next stage is chaos and death. Some people with dodgy health as it is will die as a result of this joke. A joke that isn't funny, like dancing nurses during a pandemic. This is the other side of the placebo effect. You can trick people into getting well. However, you can also trick them into getting sick, like the COVID. But others who reject the lie are still placed in a pressure cooker. I remember this from living in Seattle in 2020. A pressure cooker of respecting someone's tragedy, someone's fake-ass lied-to tragedy. And how can you not? The placebo effect is just one of the many physiological leverage points, or psychophysiological leverage points, you can exploit as a means of control. Physical isolation is another, hence the lockdowns, masks and other flatten the curve pablum from 2020. And yes, the masks isolate, they do. The masks you put on your face. A significant portion of human communication happens via facial expressions, and the mask, which definitely doesn't help with viruses, does in fact help in creating a sense of isolation when people are in public. Add in social distancing laws, or rules, or regulations, which, if you understand the history of cities and human civilization, don't really make a lot of sense. And you have managed to cut people off from each other completely, except, you know, at Walmart. Or when doing construction, like the stuff I filmed in 2020 in Seattle, yeah. Magically, there were people who were, you know, immune to the virus, and magically we'll never know how. There's too much to unpack here, but it's best to review Maslow's hierarchy of needs and other texts and articles that cover physiological psychology, nutritional health for the brain, and related subjects. Key point, like the placebo effect, there are many features of our cognitive biology that can be hijacked, impacted, and used against us. And those who manage the psyops know this. Section 12, rage storms. Even though this subject is really an expansion of trauma-based mind control in the form of petty psyops or trauma monkeys, rage storms are worthy of discussion. Like the Ebola virus, they're not really designed to have long-term effect. They're basically a rapid expansion chaos mechanism into the collective unconscious. And so, yeah, rage pump is turned on and people are driven crazy. And usually, if they turn the pump off, people go back to normal. A good example of a rage storm is how people got involved in and reacted to BLM Antifa after the George Floyd incident. And like I said, rage storms, when they are not pumped, basically dissipate. They're kind of like a bouncy... You know what they're more like? The little advertising dancer that has the fan blowing air through them, the little whatever you call it at the gas station, the one that's all dirty, they won't clean it. You turn off the fan, it collapses. That's a rage storm. You turn off the rage pump, whatever it is, and sometimes it's something like George Floyd, sometimes it's a drag queen story time bullshit, whatever it is, once you turn it off, the rage storm dissipates. Section 13, popping smoke. One tool at the disposal of the PSYOP masters often goes unnoticed or ignored, and this is purposeful. In some ways, it is their most powerful weapon of control, but it is also their last resort, final option, and once the trigger is pulled, it can't be undone. Sometimes the powers that be will toss the truth at you. Not the ironic truth or the truth as a lie, but rather just horrible fucking truths, you know. And believe me, at this point, the CIA's probably got, trillions of pages. Horrible fucking truths that freeze the mind and paralyze reason. Truths that spread like fire. Truths that fuel rage storms. Truths that create violence and division and madness. Actual true things, but no means to deal with them. If they choose to start tossing smoke bombs or popping smoke, this indicates that they too are in bad shape and their plan is near culmination. You never want to culminate before objective. You never ever want to culminate before objective. What that means is you run out of steam. You don't want to go into the desert with half a tank. Okay, you go in the desert with half a tank, you're still 50 miles from Fresno, and you ain't got any water. You do not ever want to culminate before objective. So if you think they are winning, and they're popping smoke, it's a good reason to be worried. Yeah, section 14. How to respond, don't react, watch the hands, and reflect. Well, section 14 is good. There's a reason why magicians use pretty girls. There's a reason why a magician has an assistant that's in a skimpy dress and is a pretty girl. It's not very complicated. People just don't want to think too deeply on it. There's a reason why when I was a kid and I'd go to Catholic Mass, the church itself was so ornamented. There were so many rituals. There was even a smoke generator, right? The censer. There's a reason why there's so much theater in the Catholic Mass. Same reason. But when you're dealing with magicians, you don't want to look at the pretty girl. You don't want to look at the magician's smiling face, whether it's a guy or a gal. You want to look at the hands. You want to focus on the hands. Don't stare bleakly at the crowd of unwashed marching up and down 12th Avenue, cutting off traffic to every major emergency room in Seattle in 2020 during the worst pandemic ever, right? That's what they told you through your information channel. Ignore those dancing nurses. Watch the hands. You will piss off magicians if you do this. You will. I was at a Christmas party once, and I did this, and I pissed everybody off. Because if you watch the hands, you'll figure it out. And if you watch the hands in the context of military psychological warfare, you're going to aggravate the PSYOP engineers as well. Watch the hands in this context means do not assume what you are seeing is real or even a clever fake. By the way, when the McPoyle plot happened back in July against Trump, a lot of you folks were looking at the pretty girl. Don't focus on the narrative feature that is fueling your confirmation bias or fears. Step back, ask questions, reflect. One of the obvious features of 9/11 was how quickly the book was closed. We knew who did it and why a few minutes after one of the planes hit the Pentagon. We knew, of course, we knew, we looked, we knew, we looked at Bush's face, but we ignored the hands. The more you engage with a PSYOP or petty PSYOP, aka trauma monkey, the more power you give to it, really. It is your gaze focused on the magician's face and smile. It is your gaze focused on the pretty girl. If you ignore it, you starve it of its energy. The smartest thing we can do collectively, the scrumbo masses, the discarded, the various forms of white trash and other trash people, is to ignore the experts and reason on what we've been told. Section 15, the final section, which you've been waiting for, but my God, you can't wait for it now. Section 15. How can this help you pick up girls at bars? Yeah. The first step in using these techniques against women in bars is to identify your target woman. Step two is to send and direct piece of crap men towards her over several months. We're talking real crap heads. Some of them are going to have genital crabs. Some of them are going to have something else. And you got to do this for several months. That's step two. Step three, show up at the bar months later with a good story. Something about working to fight the pandemic or standing up for environmental awareness or fighting against illegal immigration. Just say you're a veteran, and after months of being worn down by shitty men, she settles on you, an American hero. And no, I don't recommend you do any of this if you have a soul. I don't think people should manipulate each other. The reason why this is part of my manifesto, and even if it seems a bit serious right now, is because I seriously believe this is what happened in 2020. And yeah, to this day, I'm not certain why. I'm really not. Because it hasn't really ended. And they did turn the knob up. It's not that they weren't manipulating before, but the knob did get turned up. So I don't know what to tell you. They're hiding something. And they're hiding it in such a way that they have a knob where you turn it up and down. It's almost like they're hiding something that they're unsure when it will arrive, which means it's a fuzzy event. And there are so many interesting fuzzy events to include, you know, if you're a Christian, the end times. Because we can't know. The smartest people can't know. Even the devil doesn't know. Yeah, did you know that? Did anybody tell you that? Even the devil doesn't know. Bob Saget doesn't know. The Pope doesn't know, but they can make guesses. So there are all kinds of fuzzy events, both spiritual, material, and otherwise, and I think they're covering something that's fuzzy up. Now, one kind of fuzzy event, and this lends to those podcasts I mentioned, is total economic collapse related to dollar collapse. And frankly, I think that's baked into the cake at this point. You know, it's sort of, you know, the popping smoke thing. I think they've been doing it. So they're basically setting fire to all their ships to return to anything resembling 2019. And if your belief is, well, they're heading towards a magical reset kingdom, understand this. None of us knows for certain what the fuck that looks like. We can play pretend that they tell us where the bunkers are. We can play pretend that they show us their designs. Oh, it's going to be a 15-minute city. But after 2020, you should know that that city you live in is the FEMA camp. Anywho, it is Sunday, and I have spoken for an hour because you got bonus material in this particular chapter. This was a heavy-duty chapter of Bo Blimp Talk towards a new lurching. Arguably, it's going to be the biggest chapter probably, but that's okay. You know, we got more chapters coming up, a little bit of discussion about Paul Harvey. Good day. But until then, until we get to chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter Z, Golf Mike, Foxtrot, Yankee, India, Lima Yankee. Golf Mike, Foxtrot, Yankee, India, Lima, Yankee, baby. Golf Foxtrot, excuse me. Golf Mike, Foxtrot Yankee, India Lima Yankee. Good morning. Good morning, because it is morning time. It's 1 a.m. Good morning. Fuck you. I love you. It's how we're going to greet each other as Greekin' men. And Greekin' woe man in Greekin' time. Golf Mike, Foxtrot Yankee, India Lima Yankee.